Now we're going to do something a little different. I've asked a few people to give a testimony about something that's occurred during the fall program or during the revival. I've asked them to take no more than 3 minutes. I have a whipped cream pie here inside the pulpit, and if you go over your 3 minutes, you're going to get a pie in the face. And the very first person that gets to see if they want pie is Cynthia. She was telling me, she said, "Preacher, 3 minutes, I can't say anything in 3 minutes." Let me tell you something about Cynthia. Cynthia reaches out to a lot of people. She reaches out to a lot of people, and I thank God for her. Cynthia, come up and give us a little testimony.
I want to thank God for the revival we just had. The first time Pastor mentioned about it, I was so excited and start making plans. And I prayed like I never prayed before. I read my Bible. I even fasted for 4 weeks. And I needed the revival myself. And I think God really did revive me, because for the whole month I asked God to give me a good attitude and to be kind so I can invite my coworkers. This time of the year, it's hard at the post office. It's just, you need to be so extra kind. But last Sunday, I was able to invite one of my coworkers, and she brought her daughter and her son. And also, and I keep inviting, call or text messages. And as a result of the revival, 3 of my friends got saved. And they've been coming to our Bible study and also church. And I believe they want to be baptized soon. And what happened to the revival to me is very personal. I really enjoyed it. I became closer to God, and my mission, I made a decision that for the rest of my life, I would like to reach more people, and that's the reason of my living. Thank you.
And as I said, if you know Cynthia, she reaches people. She reaches people, and I thank God for her. Then I wanted one of our teenagers to give a bit of a testimony, and there's a young lady here that I'm very, very proud of. I remember the very first time Mia came to our church, and she's just a goofy little kid. And boy, have we watched her grow in the Lord and grow up in the Lord. And Mia's turned into a person that cares about the souls of people and the souls of men. And I'm going to ask Mia to come and give us a testimony.
Hi, my name is Mia. I'm 14, and I've been attending Twin Rivers Baptist Church for 4 years now, and never has it once ever let me down. I'm on bus 1, and I got saved here. I go to a public school, and as I talk to people about church, and I talk to them about them being religious, never have I once ever came across a person that said that they've got saved. They go to the churches, and they don't know what salvation is. And I like to emphasize the fact that when you come to this church, salvation is mainly the important thing. And during the revival, I have gotten to be able to lead 3 people to the Lord. Matching now, the revival and every week is alike in ways, because salvation is mainly a priority. Knowing our church is always going to tell the truth, in fact, straight from the Bible, is comforting, because nothing is ever changed or switched up. Knowing I can come to this church and know for sure I have a preacher that loves me and all people, and friends here that know the right way to help me with things and gives advice that will not only fix problems, but in the process make me decide to make better choices in life. Not only do I love the people at this church, but they help me with exciting things that are good for church, and it's just nice to see, and it's reassuring how you know before you even walk through the door, you know there will be someone to smile and shake your hand. I just want to say that I love this church, and I thank everybody for helping out with me.
Okay. Brother Edwards, do me a favor. Give that to Mia. Mia, we're going to give you a little chocolate. So, sorry, Amber. let's give this to Cynthia. You don't have to cook tomorrow. You can just eat chocolate. You know, on Sunday, we had our main church service, and then we have a primary children's church every Sunday, and then we have a children's church, and of course, we had our tent meetings. There had been no way in the world we could have ever gotten all the people that took part in our church Sunday morning here all at one time. Someday, maybe the Lord will give us an auditorium big enough where we could do that. But, you know, our children's services, they're real services. It's not a playtime, it's a church service, but they have church at their level. And one of our men that preach there is Brother David Steed. I think the second week of the revival, David stood up, preached the gospel to the kids, and at invitation time, 9 children came forward trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Every one of those kids will go to heaven someday because of the old-time revival. I asked Brother Steed to come and give a little testimony.
It's just a joy. You know, this last 4 weeks have been amazing to see the work the Lord's done in my heart, but to be able to be the investment to see that I get to have and the kids that we get to reach in this ministry through the bus and through our own kids. I told Pastor when the first time he told me that I was going to get to do King's Kids, I broke down in tears of joy. I didn't really get to do that kind of stuff with my own kids. But I'm thankful that I get a chance, a second chance, to be a figure in their life to help them, to try to nurture them in the Lord, to teach them the things. The greatest thing I love about these kids, I just wish I got saved when they got saved. I have yet to see one anywhere to say, I just wish I could have gotten saved younger. And just to be able to have the investment in these kids' life. Because I'm a nobody, and I love playing with these kids, but I tell them the first thing, I'm dumb, and I'm thankful that I'm able to be used and be able to teach the Word of God and invest in their lives and see these kids grow is amazing, and I'm just looking forward to one day them coming to me and says, well, like Pastor told me, one day maybe Joelle will be a King's Kid worker one day. Just knowing that she grew up there, just to watch these kids grow, keep them encouraged, it's just amazing. And I thank the good Lord that He's allowed me to be part of the greatest church in the United States and in the world. And I love y'all and I love your kids. Thank you. And may God continue to get all the glory through what we do for our kids.
Steve, we're gonna give you some nuts. You just need some peanuts, just a few. There you go. Nanette, you don't have to cook tomorrow. He can just eat peanuts all day long. You might even be able to throw some peanuts to him, get him to do tricks or something, you know? Okay. Well, throughout the revival, just all levels, you can see our teenagers, they really had a great revival, the whole youth department. You see the children and the children's ministry and friends, co-workers being saved. In the bus ministry, we had a very, very good program. Brother Tyler McGirt, on his bus route, he had set a goal for the last week. It's a pretty big deal to him. He kept wanting to reach and break his record. And the last week of the program, he did that very thing. And then also, Brother Tyler, he won. We had a contest in the church for bringing adult visitors and visitors where someone would take a trip with myself and my wife to revival that I'm preaching in another part of the state. And Tyler won that as well. And so I'm asking Tyler to come and to give us a testimony. Will you come, Tyler?
Well, I take after my preacher. I try to copy him a whole lot. I'm a numbers guy, so I got a couple numbers for you. We we worked really, really hard on our bus route the past couple of weeks. You know, I got to say, God, we prayed real hard. We prayed real hard. God came through for us and saw a lot of people saved. Just want to tell you a little bit about it. We had, in the past 4 weeks on our bus route, and I say we because it does take a team. It takes a lot of people working together. A lot of jobs to do on a bus route, and I have a pretty good team I work with. So we had a total of 18 visitors on our bus route the past 4 weeks. Total people saved on Sunday mornings, we had 15, and four of those were adults that actually walked down the aisle, knelt at this altar, and through a couple of soul winners here in the congregation, they got saved. And those were parents on our bus route, and you can reach the parents. We had one young lady that we are very proud of. She got baptized, and I wouldn't want to embarrass her, but AJ's here tonight, yes, ma'am. And on November 19th, we had what we called Parent Day. We had a big day for the parents. We wanted to get as many parents to come to church as we possibly could. We also set the record for the bus route that day. You know, we had a goal, like Preacher mentioned, it was 40 people. We wanted to have 40 people on the bus route, and we set that record, and we had 41 riders. And I told him, I said, you know, if we get 40 riders on the bus route, I'll eat a goldfish. You know, it's classic, you know, might as well go ahead. And hopefully, you know, I had to eat the goldfish. Hopefully I retired my goldfish eating career. That was the last one, hopefully. And so that was fun. And then we did have, on November 19th, we had 7 visitors and 7 people trust Christ as their Savior this past Sunday. Like I mentioned, 2 of those were adult ladies that walked the aisle. And I got to say this was awesome. It touched my heart. I followed up with a couple, or with at least one of them, on the bus later on. And I asked her, I said, I heard that you got saved today. And she said, yes, Brother Tyler, I got saved. She said, after a sermon like I heard on Sunday morning, I knew that I had to get saved. And she walked down the aisle and somebody won her to Christ. It can happen, you know. So I just wanted to, you know, God gets the glory. And we couldn't have done it without Him. Don't think I would have wanted to without Him. And so, you know, thank you for a church that's a soul-winning church and that cares about people and has a bus ministry.
Amen. Tyler, we're going to give you some cookies. And he'll share those with you, Rachel. I'm just sure of it. Man, Tyler's right. It takes a team. I enjoy church. I enjoy what we do. I enjoy these testimonies. It's a sad thing to me. A lot of churches out there, they're dead. People come to church, they're bored, they don't like it, they're not doing anything, they're not accomplishing anything. We're helping people. We're making a difference. I think that's what God wanted. I think God wanted us to help and reach people. And thank God that He chose to use people. I'm so glad He uses people. We've heard from the bus route. We've heard from the youth department. We've heard about people from the children's ministry and just adults reaching co-workers. Of course, we had a big day on Sunday. And here on the property, our very first service, there were 257 people that were here in the building. And then, of course, you know, we had our second service. And I promise you, when I pulled onto the property where Brother Ellswick and Brother Edwards' tent was, you just wouldn't believe there are people coming from everywhere. And you know, Brother Ellswick, he had 100 footballs to give away. And I have my wife with me now. My phone died, so if any of you been calling me or texting me, my phone is dead, and I'm not going to see it again until next Monday. It's been kind of pleasant. but my daughter kept texting my wife. She said, Mom, we're up to 120. So I went to Dollar Tree to buy more footballs. So I'm walking out of Dollar Tree, and my wife said, Honey, they're up to 150. So I went to Dollar Tree to buy some footballs. And she texted her and said, we're up to 180. So you know what I did? I went to Dollar Tree to buy some footballs. When we got to 200, I said, that's it. I just buying all these footballs. And the people at Dollar Tree had to think we were nuts. I bought all these footballs. And I went to the other tents because we had a few extra. And I'm grabbing them and we're racing them all over the place. And at the end of the day, at that tent, there were 235 people in attendance. And if you would have seen the soul winning, just all over the place, people with their Bibles open, adult men, adult ladies, teenagers, children, but there are people getting saved everywhere, and they enjoyed what took place, and so I'm going to ask Brother Elswick if he'll come, and he had set a goal for his tent. He reached it. We're going to give him a gift card as a thank you. But Brother Elswick, come give us a testimony on behalf of you, your team, the entire church.
Well, I'll tell you, this past Sunday was just a miracle day. And I thank the Lord for the privilege and opportunity that we have to serve Him. Whenever we go out on Team Soul Winning on Saturdays and we're going out on the bus ride on Sundays, when I pray, when we break and dismiss, I always pray that and I say, you know, God, help us not to lose sight of the privilege and the opportunity that we have to be able to serve You. There are a lot of people tonight across the country and across the world that would give anything to be able to serve God. And we get to do that on a very consistent basis here. I'm very thankful for our preacher and his vision and all the planning and the giveaways that we were able to give this past Sunday. You know, it was such a treat whenever we were giving away all the groceries at our tent. Whenever someone would win and they would get a bag of those groceries and just everyone under the tent were just clapping and cheering and just congratulating the person that won. It was just very refreshing to see that. And as preacher said, we had, you know, a dozen or so bags of groceries at our tent that we were able to give away. Brother Edwards had a frozen turkey that we were able to give away. And I thank God for Brother and Mrs. Hacker. Amen. I had this idea when preacher said we were going to have this tent revival, and he said that we were going to be leading the tent in Fox Chase Village. And I said, you know, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart for us to give away some live chickens. And we went, we visited this week. We were knocking on the doors telling them, hey, we're giving away groceries. We're giving away footballs, and I'm giving away chickens. And some people looked at me and they laughed, and some people looked at me, I swear to you, they licked their lips when I told them we were giving away chickens. And it was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But Mrs. Hacker, I know that those chickens were like family to you, and so thank you. Hey, I got to tell you, we prayed and we visited through the week, and we prayed some more and we visited some more through the week, and God blessed. Sunday afternoon came. We got done dropping everyone off on our bus route. Matter of fact, I didn't get to finish dropping everybody off on the bus route. My wife and I had to get off the bus. We had too many people on there. And we had to get off the bus to stay at Fox Chase because all the workers started to show up, and we wanted to make sure we got everybody directed. People just started coming. I had Josh Kroom. He was there at the tent. He kept going around the tent and counting all the people. And then I said, Josh, you got to count again. So he went around again and counted again. I think he circled the tent five or six times before he finally got a final count on how many we had there. Tyler mentioned AJ. I thank God for AJ. She was there at our tent. She was helping to gather people. David was there. We had several teenagers, adult ladies who were there helping. And I thank God for every single one of them. We sang. We had a church service. We preached. And as preacher said, we had over 50 people saved at our tent. And it was just such a joy watching all the soul winners. I was thinking of Mrs. Edwards. Mrs. Edwards there, she had six young people that she led to the Lord, all huddled together there. And, boy, she had their attention. There were multiple soul winners all over the yard there around the tent with four, five, six people that they were leading to Christ. I got to tell you, though, one of my favorite highlights from the afternoon, though, was we have one of our bus teenagers. He's not here tonight, I don't think, but DeMarcus. Many of you know DeMarcus. He was there. He bugged me and bugged me and bugged me and bugged me and bugged me on Sunday morning for him to go to the tent. And finally, I said, fine. You can come, but you're going to work. He said, I'll do it. I'll work. He went up and down the streets 5 or 6 times, knocking on doors, gathering people. Just he didn't even know what to say to them. He was just pointing at them and pointing down the street, telling them that they needed to come down there. And they were following him. They were following him. It was all said and done. We wrapped up. We got everything cleaned up. Everybody went home. And DeMarcus got on the bus with us to come back here to the church. And he came up to me, and this was just... He said, Brother Ellswick, didn't you just love seeing all the people come forward and get saved? That's a bus team saying that. That's a tender heart. Now, thank God for Mia and her testimony. She is a bus teenager. But thank God for her. She's become a soul winner now. I tell you what, after it was all said and done, we got back here to the church. And there's one thing that the Holy Spirit said to me. Imagine what would have happened if you had 4 chickens to give away.
All right, I've got to keep things moving along. Mrs. Hacker, I am so sorry you need to give up your chickens, but you still have your goat. The one right beside you. That's right. I was going to say pig, but I wanted to be nice. If during the 4-week program, I want to do something real quick. Can I get three ushers, maybe even 4 ushers come up this way? And here's what I need. If during the 4-week program you won someone to Christ, either in children's church or out soul winning or at a tent, but during the 4 weeks, if you won someone to Christ, will you stand up real quick?
We're going to give each one of you a Krispy Kreme pumpkin pie. Now, these are seasonal. You can't get them just any time. Once you get your pie, you can have a seat. But it is a team effort.
Hey, and they run out of these. Last year, I was advertising chocolate pies, and they don't make the chocolate pies all the way through the year. Excellent. If we need more, we have them. Okay, super great. And Brother Ellswick, you and Brother Crawford, don't forget to get your turkeys up here. Now, we're not done yet, folks. I want to tell you this. We ought to thank God for what we've seen happen in the last 4 weeks. God's been good to our church, and we had a revival going before we decided to have more revival. We'd just broken our all-time church attendance record in September, and so God was good to us. I think God's just been good. I'm going to ask the Edwards family to come and sing for us.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good.
Times replay
cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good through it all. God's been good.
For the last 45 minutes, you have watched a sermon. You've seen what a New Testament church is really all about. That's really what churches are supposed to do. I thank God for our old time revival. 50 straight months, our church has watched people get saved. 50 straight months, we've seen a perpetual revival. 216 weeks. 1,512 days. Just it seemed like every day something else would happen and we'd all say, wow, did you see that? See what God gave us? I mean, God's given us so much. I just stopped telling you. Every day God would do something else for us. Just revival. We sing the song, Revive Us Again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. I'm going to preach the shortest sermon you're ever going to hear out of me because you're going to be gone by 8 o'clock this evening. I looked in the Bible and I seen there are many revivals. Some incredible revivals. I'm just going to list some revivals that were conducted, that were experienced in the Bible. I want you to listen very carefully. Jacob, in Genesis chapter 35, on his return to Bethel, Jacob ordered his entire household to put away their false gods, to wash and to change their garments, and a family revival broke out. You see, a family can experience revival. Samuel experienced a revival in 1 Samuel chapter 7. At the request of Samuel, all the people in the country put away their false gods and prepared their hearts, and they served God and God only. And Samuel led a great revival. Moses seen a powerful revival. In Exodus chapter 14 and Exodus chapter 15, the the children of Israel had been complaining and griping, and then all of a sudden God, through his mighty hand, led them through the parting of the Red Sea. When they got on the other side of the Red Sea, Moses led the people in a song, and Miriam and the women furnished some special music, and a revival broke out among God's people. David in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, 16, and chapter 29, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem for the first time, a revival broke out. The presence of God caused a revival. And that's what it takes. Oh, we put our effort into it. We put our planning. We put our organizing into it. But revival without God's not possible. It is God that brings revival. Solomon saw a revival in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It occurred at the dedication of the temple. And what happened was they built the temple, and the people seen how important the house of God was. And as a result of them seeing that importance, a revival came in Solomon's day. Asa in 1 Kings chapter 15 experienced a revival. They had removed the Sodomites and the false idols out of the land, and a revival broke out. Let me tell you, Asa was a man that took a stand. He actually deported his own grandmother for her idolatry. She wouldn't turn from her wicked way, and he said, "Mom and Grandma, you're leaving town." I'm not going to do that to my grandma. Jehoshaphat experienced a revival in 2 Chronicles chapter number 19. The king led a revival when he ordered the cleaning up the temple and the sanctification of the Levitical priests. In other words, the preachers were playing church instead of being right with God. And Jehoshaphat said, "You preachers need to get right with God." You know, sometimes preachers need revival. I tell you what, across this country, there are churches and preachers that need to have revival. Elijah had revival. You find it in 1 Kings chapter 18. Many of you are familiar with the story. There was a place called Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal were there, and Elijah had begged God for power, and fire from the sky fell upon sacrifices, and the elimination of the prophets of Baal came. And that day for Elijah, a great revival broke out. There was a revival for a man by the name of Jehu. His name is spelled J-E-H-U. 2 Kings chapter number 10. He eliminated all of Baal worshippers and their temples from the land. Tore down the idols. God knows if America is going to have revival, we're going to have to tear down America's idols. We're going to have to get our eyes back on God. A man by the name of Jehoiada in 2 Kings chapter 11. Jehoiada experienced revival. This godly high priest led the people in making promise whereby they would forsake their idols and they would worship God and God only, and a great revival broke out. In the Bible, a man by the name of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, he had revival. King Hezekiah experienced a revival when they underwent a cleansing of the temple of God. In other words, in a church needed straightened out so God can bring revival. Boy, if the people in the church get contrary with God, if they get contrary with one another, revival ceases. Boy, but if God has unity within the church, if the people are right with each other, and if the people are right with the man of God, and the man of God right with the people, and everybody right with God, revival can come. Manasseh had revival in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. He as a king got saved, and then he led his people in revival, ordering the destruction of all the idols. Talk about turn a country around. Watch a president or a king get saved and then tell everybody, "I stand for God, the God of the universe." And without apology, boy, that's what America needs. America needs that our leadership would get born again. Josiah experienced revival in 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. The revival began when the book of the law was accidentally discovered during a temple cleanup and renovation. What had happened is, the Word of God had been forgotten in the church and actually had been tossed aside. I don't know, they even built a wall somewhere or closed up a closet, and their copy of the Word of God was locked in. And someone had said, "We need to clean this place up and do some remodeling." And while they were in there, the construction people were in there remodeling, someone came across the book and they said, "Well, what is this?" And someone said, that's the Word of God. They rediscovered the Word of God. Josiah then took the Word of God and began reading it publicly, standing above the people, and a great revival broke out, first across that congregation, then across that city, and across that country. Ezra had a revival in Ezra chapter 9 and chapter 10. Ezra, through his preaching on separation to the Jewish remnant, ceased their ungodly marriage alliances and stopped running with the heathen. And folks, it'll always be the case if God's going to bring revival to his people, there's going to have to be separation in the lives. We're to be different than the world. God doesn't bring revival to people like the world. God brings revival to those that don't want to be like the world, because this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Nehemiah had revival in Nehemiah chapter 13. After Nehemiah had rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem, Ezra stood by its gate and publicly read and taught the word of God out of doors, and a great revival broke out from standing on a street corner and preaching and teaching the word of God. Oh, a lot of people don't realize it. Maybe the greatest revival in history was preached by a man by the name of Jonah. Backslid man that ran from God. You know the story about Jonah being swallowed by the well. Jonah went to the city of Nineveh. The Bible teaches that when Jonah preached in Nineveh, the entire city got saved. History tells there were about 600,000 people in that city at that time. Can you imagine? A man stands up and preaches and a revival breaks out, and every person in the city got saved. I'd like to see everybody in my city get saved. You say it's not possible. Oh, I don't tell me it's not possible. God can do anything. The Ninevites, through Jonah's preaching, repented and got right with God. And wow, what an incredible, incredible revival. Esther, a woman who is right with God, actually launched a revival in her day after a wicked man by the name of Haman had planned on hanging all the Jews. But Esther got involved, and as a result, a revival broke out in that land. John the Baptist, he was known for preaching revivals. In Luke chapter 3, there was a revival. John preached the imminent appearance of Israel's Messiah, warning them they better get saved and get baptized. And one day he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And a revival broke out. Jesus seen revival. He's responsible for all revival. But in John chapter 4, there was a conversion of a sinful Samaritan woman, and it started a revival in Samaria. Philip seen a revival in Acts chapter 8. Philip's strong preaching about the kingdom of God brought a revival to Samaria. Who would ever forget about Peter? The day of Pentecost, he had been backslidden and running from God and cussing and all sorts of things. But he got right with God, went down to a place called Pentecost, opened up his Bible, and preached Jesus, his Savior. 3,000 people got saved, baptized, and joined the church one day. And you think my church services are long? That was a long church service. Just figure out how long it takes to baptize one person and multiply it times 3,000. They had a lot of towels that day. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19 preached a revival. One of the greatest revivals occurred in Ephesus during Paul's third missionary journey. And I would like to add one to the list. The Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Revival. Revival in a day and age where people say it can't be done, and it can be. Folks, you can have a personal revival. And you need a personal revival. Maybe your marriage needs revival. Maybe your family. Cities can have revival. Countries can have revival. Churches can have revival. Preachers can have revival. I think businesses can have revival. There are times in the Bible where, you know, when you understand, sometimes a family owned the business. Abraham had some revival in his day, and basically Abraham's businesses were having revival as he overseen his flocks and herds and his farming elements. Hey, men have revival, women have revival, boys and girls have revival, teenagers have revival. Anybody that ever gets to experience revival, I want you to know, God's been good to you. Brother Elswick said it. You know, there are people all over the world that would love to have a taste of serving God and what it's like. God's been good. I think God's been good to our church. He's given us revival. I think if we may this evening, I'd like to conclude our service. I'd like, Brother Edwards, if you and your family, if you would not mind, I'd love to hear you sing that song one last time before we go home. Listen, God's been good to you. And whether we understand it or not, we've been blessed beyond all measure. If you're saved tonight, you've been blessed. Listen to the song again. Sing along if you would like. And in a moment, we'll come. We'll have a word of prayer. And we'll... Have we taken the offering yet? Well, we will take the offering. Even if we're late, we're going to take the offering. Do this. Why don't you go ahead and just get the offering plates. Bring them forward. We'll just take the offering. And try to keep your mind on the music. But I'm going to get us out of here to 8. We're going to take an offering. We're going to have special music. And we're going to have a closing prayer. So we've got 4 minutes to do it. Father, bless the offering, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's hear him sing.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good.
Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I face my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As His grace rolled down upon me, undeserved.
God's been good. When I go to sleep each night, though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good.
God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end.
I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is.
But the best way I can say it is this.
God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good.
God's been good.
Throughout this revival, I couldn't even tell you all the stories, miracles, things that have happened, situations resolved, God moving in unique ways. We've had revival, and we'll continue to have revival.